Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
PS4 launch special. Greatness is here. A very special episode of the Boston Bass Brigade. I am King Baby Duck, and today we have a couple special guests joining me. First off, from RP Grinders, Mr. Eric Kelly.
Hello, guys.
How's it going?
All right.
And from Gamertag Radio, Mr. Boston J.
What is up, y'all? It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me again, Evan.
Not a problem. It's been, what, since E3 that you were on the show?
Since E3, sir.
Yeah.
A lot has changed since then. My shiny PS4 in front of me taunts me, even while I record this podcast.
Mine too. And that's what we're all here to talk about, the PlayStation 4 launch. It's here, and it looks rather beautiful sitting underneath my television set. So,
it does. It's very sleek, isn't it? Like,
yes,
I was actually just at a friend's house last night, and he had it plugged up, and I literally had to stare at his entertainment sister for about a minute or so because I couldn't find the PS4. It's just so well hidden because, I mean, a lot of systems in the past, you know, they have this iconic design to them where it's just like, look at me, I'm iconic. And the PlayStation's like, you know what, you can just slide me wherever you want, forget about me, I'll be fine. And I really like that a lot. It's quiet, it's nice looking, it just looks like a nice piece of technology that I don't mind showing off to my friends. Or if I, you know, I'm sick or tired of it, I can shove it away, you know, as long as it can breathe, though, you know.
Exactly.
Not want the thing to catch fire, because it does run quite hot, as I have noticed, and you probably have, too.
I have noticed that, too, especially when I was testing out all the Twitch TV stuff, the live streaming and video capture. It does run a bit hot, but it doesn't get dangerously hot.
No, nothing too severe. It's just, I mean, I've always been pretty well-minded in giving my consoles plenty of space to breathe in, but this one a lot more so, just because there are a lot of fans in this thing.
Yes.
And the whole back panel is just a big fan exhaust, so be careful where you put it. I don't think we'll have any, like, you know, overheating issues that we probably saw last generation, but it's better safe than sorry for sure. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I'd ever want to stand this thing vertically. Despite the fact that they say that's all right, and they even sell a $20 stand to back that up, I just don't think that's a good idea. I think this thing looks perfect laying down.
That's how I have mine actually set up, having it stand vertically. So
really? So, yes. Like, do you stand it on, like, the left side or the right side? Like, the little words PS4, are they, like,
I have it so the word Sony is, like, on the top right.
Okay, I think I see what you're talking about now. I'm too scared to try that. It just looks like it's supposed to be laying down flat because, like, it's so angled in that direction, but
the thing is, every time I've seen the PlayStation 4 set up, it's always been up vertically.
Yeah, that's true, because, I mean, like, honestly, it kind of looks like Isaac Clarke's face to me. I'm actually a little disappointed that it doesn't look more like Isaac Clarke's face in person than it does from promotional videos, because I would totally stand it up if it looked that badass, but I don't know, it's just, maybe I'm just paranoid because I just got this thing and it's my baby now.
Right.
But yeah. I couldn't bring myself to do that, but it's good to know that it's still a viable option for people who, you know, I guess don't have the space to lay this thing down, but.
Yeah, I have it, like, right next to my Wii U setup.
Very cool. The black Wii U?
Yep, the black Wii U.
All right, good. You got to have everything black in your entertainment system. I hate things that throw off the color scheme.
My whole entertainment system is all black. I got the black TV, black Xbox 360, black VCR for those rare cases where I want to watch something on a videotape.
Hey, man. Still happens. That's good.
So, Eric, what did you do for your setup?
To save space in my apartment, I decided to stack my PS3 right on top of the PS4, like I did with my Wii and Wii U.
Is that...
Does that mean you have four consoles stacked on top of each other right now?
Yeah, because it's flat enough, so why not?
I'd be awesome. Worried that would cause too much of the overheating, though.
It's not on, though.
Right, it's not on, though, but when you do turn it on... Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, as long as they're not both on at the same time, it's really no different than just putting on anything else.
I only turn it on once to download something off of the PS3 real quick.
Oh, okay. So, one other thing that's been going on in the news, before we really jump into it, is there's been some issues with some of the PlayStation 4's feeling, which is you know, it happens. Just about
every launch ever.
Every launch ever. In fact, that's kind of why Hamsterman 2049 was supposed to be on the show, but his PlayStation 4 actually failed on him, so he's waiting for the Sony store to call him and let him know that there's a new one for him to pick up.
That sucks. It's one of those things where if it doesn't happen to you, you're just like, I think people are overreacting. But if it does happen to you, all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is a big problem. And you feel really isolated because if you're the only person that you know that has this problem, you feel like, oh man, I have some crappy luck. Now, thankful, fingers crossed, that has not happened to me, because apparently most of the problems are just a slight problem with the pins on the HDMI out connector, and not something more severe as, you know, like, there's not enough solder on the motherboard, or, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Like the issues that 360 had, like, their physical hardware issues that, you know... Unless you're one of those people that knows how electronics work, I mean, there's nothing you can do other than send it back. And that's a really big buzzkill to buy one of these things at launch and have something like that, and... Really, because, you know, they're officially probably sold out in a store right now. You're going to have to wait probably a considerable amount of time to get a replacement. Or
probably
a fix
not
from Sony.
Until, like, past Christmas or something.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Not fun at all, especially for those that were waiting for the holiday season to pick it up.
Yeah.
But the thing that, you know, when I was setting up my PlayStation 4, I was, like, doing the whole finger crossing. I was like, don't fuck up on me, don't fuck on me, and I'm like... I'm hearing all the noises. I'm like, please don't let those be fuck up noises. Please let those be normal noises the PS4 makes. And fortunately, that was the case.
Yeah, I was a little surprised the first time I turned it on. It kind of whirled up for a second. It sounded louder than it was supposed to. I was like, is it supposed to do that? But then it kind of settled down afterwards. Like now, for instance, I have it in standby mode. And maybe it's just because I'm slightly colorblind. But whatever color that light is on the top of it that's supposed to show that it's in standby mode looks way too much like there's something wrong with it. It's some kind of like a red warning light. I'm just like, I hope it's not supposed to be doing that.
Well, but. Well, I know you say you're colorblind, a little bit colorblind. So the normal color I see with my PlayStation 4 is like blue. But what I've noticed too, I don't know if you noticed it when you were playing a couple of your video games on there, was... It also acts as your health bar of sorts. Like, when you're about to die, it turns red, and then when you're starting to heal up, it goes into orange, until when you're 100% again, it's back to green.
On the console, too? Or the controller?
The controller.
Oh, there's the controller. All right, yeah. The controller, I saw that. If you told me the console did that, too, I'd be like, oh, really?
Nope.
That's pretty crazy. But the controller, yeah, I've noticed that. You know, playing Killzone with its, you know, rechargeable health system, it's actually pretty useful to know. If you know, you should not be running out again, because that game is pretty damn hard, to be honest.
Killzone?
But it's fun. Yeah, Killzone.
Yeah. We'll touch a little bit more about that, but the thing is I wanted to touch on is going back to February when this first was introduced, you know, they had a decent reveal of sorts, but we were still questionable as to what the PlayStation 4 was going to be really about. But then when E3 came around, not only did they answer all of our questions, but they managed to win the show, basically, because they were trying to tell us that this was going to be a console for gamers, and not sort of like what Xbox One was trying to do, which was, oh, this is going to be a full-on entertainment system.
Yeah, it's primarily a game console, and that's really what, you know, I would say the majority of people that buy these things want, because... I mean, again, in this day and age where you have so many options for your entertainment purposes, I mean, kind of the lower on your list should be a $400 or $500 video game console. Because, I mean, honestly, the PS4 isn't even a media server like the PS3 was. The Xbox is more the entertainment system overall. But I'm just happy that it does what I want it to do. And then one of the biggest things I'm impressed with is just the speed of the new menu system, the new crossbar that they have.
Yes.
It's just, it changes everything. I mean, I can't think how many times I would just stare at loading screens on my PS3, either loading the store or loading my friends list or loading my trophies. It was just, or updating, and everything just felt like I was wasting some of my time because I want to sit down and play something and I have to stare at a whole bunch of crap to get through it. And I'm amazed by this thing. And I mean, the perfect example is, you know, if you have a disc in the tray and you put, you know, load it from the main menu, in about 15 to 20 seconds, it takes you straight to the main menu of that game.
Yeah, I was very surprised about that.
I know, right? Like, I thought they were contractually obligated to always show the publisher's logo, the developer's logo. Here's the Unreal Engine that we used. Here's the sound. Here's the physics engine. I'm just like, I don't know who made that call that said, hey, look, we need to stop doing this, but thank you so much. That means so much to me. It's just the little things like that of just being able to load up the menu instantly. Really impresses me. And this whole concept of this auto downloading system in the background, I'm just shocked because, you know, I bought Killzone digitally, so I paid for it. Yeah, I did, which was really fun because of that awful PSN outage last night. Because pretty much, I mean, I sat there from midnight to about 4 a.m. just trying over and over again. Eventually, PSN went live, but then I still couldn't buy anything from the store, so I didn't end up doing that until, you know, today, really. But just the fact that you spend maybe about an hour installing the core the game, you can start playing. And then I noticed this later on is it's auto-downloading the game chapter by chapter as you're playing, and you can go into the menu and say, hey, stop loading the single player, download the multiplayer instead now. So I saw, I was like, oh, it just finished downloading chapter 8. I'm only on chapter 3 now. That's awesome. Now switch around, let me download the multiplayer instead. Just these options that it gives you to not sit there and stare at a loading bar, because these games are huge. They're 50 gigabytes.
Yeah, they are. That didn't, you know, that was kind of like one of the things where I was worried about when I heard that you still had to install a lot of these games on there. Because I know, 500 gigabytes is a lot, but for Killzone Shadowfall to be 50 gigabytes, that's already 1/10 of the system. Or technically, because you're only able to use 400 gigabytes on the system, that's more than 1/10.
Yeah, it's basically, but I knew going in, as soon as I saw the announcement of how big the hard drives was, I knew this was going to be a problem. But as a person who got in the habit of always installing my 360 games before I played them, and then having to delete them and then go back and reinstalling them again, I'm used to that, but the fact that they've made this so much faster and more streamlined, where literally it only really takes, I guess, an hour of your, like, you know, having to sit there actually stare at a loading bar before you can start playing your game. And that's only for retail games, too. You know, if you're talking about things on PSN, like indie things like Resogun or Contrast, those are pretty much instantaneous.
Yeah.
You know, within 45 seconds, you're in there playing that game while it's still downloading in the background. And that's huge because, you know, going forward, obviously, I'm going to upgrade to a terabyte hard drive at some point. You know, if that can be an SSD drive, even better, because this would just be the future right in my hands. But until that point, I mean, I'm not going to be too upset at the fact that, oh, okay, you know, it's February now, Infamous is out. I don't mind uninstalling Killzone, installing Infamous, and, you know, I don't mind spending an hour putting Killzone back in the hard drive if I feel like playing it again.
Right.
I think by the time this becomes a real problem, I think a lot of people will go ahead and adopt getting an internal hard drive to replace it out, because if you watch the videos, it's really easy.
Yeah, I was very shocked at how easy it is.
Yeah.
So, Eric, did you have any issues with using the PSN at all yesterday when it was, you know, acting up a bit?
I didn't get the chance because I had to get right back over here and then get ready for the show last night. And then after that, I was really tired, so I just went to bed at like 9:30. But this morning I didn't have any issues. I thought about using the USB drive to install the game or the update instead, but apparently USB adapters don't work via an SD card. So I just had to do it on the internet.
And you know what? I did that too as a backup because I wasn't too sure if it was going to take too long, but I was able to download that update in like 2 minutes yesterday. I was very shocked.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I mean, it's like, what, like 300 megabytes for that whole piece of mail? It wasn't too anything too substantial. I mean, I think I spent more time just messing around, like, with all the menus. Because seriously, I mean, last night, you know, I realized, wow, I didn't buy a retail game. I literally can't do anything with this PlayStation until PSN gets work. So I just spent a lot of time just messing around with the menus and finding a lot of cool things just here and there that they added in. You know, the ability, I mean, one of my biggest gripes with Xbox 360 was, you know, if I was immersed in a story-based game, I did not want to see my friends pop online every 30 seconds because it totally sucked me out of the experience.
Right.
And the only way around that... Yeah, we'll only
or if you're trying to read the subtitles or something. I've noticed that too with like when I'm watching something on Crunchyroll and it's like, boom, your friend is online. Oh, great. Now I have to rewind it because I missed what they said.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the only way to get around that on Xbox was to turn off notifications. Well, guess what? You just turned off messages and your achievements. So enjoy essentially playing an offline game at that point. But I was just like, all right, I guess I'll put up with that. With the PS4, I'm really impressed because it gives you a list of what you want to see. Do I want to see friends requests? Do I want to see messages? Do I want to see real name requests? Do I want to see trophies? Do I want to see game alerts, downloads, uploads? It gives you a lot of customizability. And I think that's kind of the core experience here is being able to set this system up to do exactly what you want to do. The only thing I have against it right now is I don't like the fact that I can't delete like the tiles off of the main menu, like, you know, for like the Music Unlimited and the Video Unlimited, two things I will never use because I don't believe in subscription media services like that. And, you know, like the Playroom, like I don't think I'll get a PlayStation camera anytime soon, unless it goes on sale. And I wish I could like take that off of my main menu. So that's my minor gripe right there for me being
there may be an update sometime in the near future where you can like organize what you want on your front.
Yeah, even organizing would be fine. Just like, you know, it just, it's the OCD in me. The fact that they're not alphabetical and they kind of switch around based on your usage of them, I feel that could be touched up a bit. But, I mean, other than that, I really like it a lot. Let me ask you guys this. Have you guys found the ability to make the system turn automatically off when it's finished downloading something like the PS3 did? Because I could not find that option to save my life.
I couldn't find it. What about you, Eric?
No. I haven't had much time messing around with it.
See, that makes me mad because, I mean, it's got the thing where you can say, hey, you know, if I'm not playing it for an hour, auto turn it off. That doesn't really help, though, because you just shut off your download, too. So, I mean, I'm too paranoid right now to leave this thing on, you know, while I'm not next to it in the room. So I would hope an update would come soon to put back that into functionality because that was a big part of the PlayStation 3 for me is, you know, the fact that I could just leave it alone and it would turn off when it was done. Or the fact that it would wake up and, you know, download things and turn back off by itself. And the PS4 can do that, but, you know, games are so large, I need to be able to walk away and not have to babysit the console.
But I recall that option was added later on to the PS3, and it wasn't there when it first started.
Oh, heck no. No, if you're going to be brutally honest, I hated the PlayStation 3 probably up until only last year. Is when I saw it as like a viable console, the 360. I just like it had a lot of growing pains to get to where it is now. But I mean, they put in all that hard work, and now I mean, arguably they have the more intuitive, you know, user friendly gaming console. Now I can't speak fully because I have not messed around with the Xbox One's menu and architecture. The only thing I played is the games, but I'm super impressed by the UI for the PlayStation, being able to pull up, you know, your friends list and your messages at any time, you know. I mean, obviously, like, there's no start button anymore. The options menu has kind of become the start button. But, yeah. I mean, it's kind of small and awkward to press, really. But the PlayStation home button does that fine because it pauses the game, takes you to wherever you want to do, mess around, come back, bam, you're right exactly where you started. And I like that a lot.
And I noticed, too, that it had something similar to what not console, but something that the 3DS has, and that is you can just go exit out of the game, have it still running, and then jump into something else, and then you can go back to it whenever you want, or you could just easily just close the application when you're all said and done with it.
Yeah, you're right. It is very similar to the way the 3DS is set up, and I like that a lot, that it queues things in the main slot, so you, I mean, really, I haven't really encountered anything I couldn't do other than playing a new game before having to close the other one. So, yeah, it's really nice. Instead of having to just, you know, save your game, quit, go do something else, come back to it. Have you guys messed around with any of the apps yet, like Netflix or Crunchyroll or anything like that?
No, but I did notice in the PSN store, it has a couple... I like how much faster it is. And yeah. I think the PS3's the PS3's new store in particular was just awful. It's just really slow, and it's hard to find anything. And it's still kind of like that here, but at least it's a little bit easier. But that might have to do with more if it's a new console, so there's not everything else in there yet. But
it's really empty for the most part.
But the things I didn't like, about the PS3 store with the new store update was the fact that the search feature doesn't work and it's completely useless. And also, you can't actually type in a search, and it, despite the fact that you're looking up a letter, it just brings you to the A's. And so if you want to go look at something Z, you have to start with A and scroll all the way down, or you're just going to have to mess around in the menus until you can go to a place where you can filter your search.
Yeah, I thought that that was a bit of a downgrade when they did update the system on the PS3, but I feel like on the PS4 they did a much better job. It's a lot faster, whereas on the PS3 version, it still feels like, oh, you gotta wait another minute before this next section loads up, and then another minute for this section to load up, and so forth and so forth. And it became such a major pain to actually go and download a game that you really wanted to buy.
Yeah, you had to make a conscious effort to be like, alright, let me take 10 minutes out of my time to go check to see if there's any new demos on PlayStation. Load the store, load the tabs, load the demos. Oh, wait, nothing else. Back out, back out, back out, back out. All right, now what was I doing? And just
it's faster to go to the store on the PC and then...
Yeah, it really is.
There, but right now it's actually down. It doesn't work since you can't even sign in.
Yeah, have y'all messed around with the PlayStation app yet for Android or iOS?
I've tried it out on my iPhone. It works to a point, but I haven't had a real chance to test out on any of the games that it's compatible with.
Yeah, like, I got as far as I installed it on my phone. I've yet to, like, sync it with my PS4. But, I mean, all it's really done for me so far is you push one of, like, these, you know, the profile, the trophies, the store button, and all it does is just, like, loads up a web page in your browser, essentially, and takes you to that on the website. I was kind of hoping it all be kind of self-contained inside the phone.
Yeah.
You know, to match the efficiency of the PS4, because right now it's just like, I don't see the use for it at this point.
At this point, yes. But who knows? Maybe, like I said, an update will fix it. Just don't know when that update's going to happen, though. When you opened up the PS4, you saw that it came with 3 months of, you know, PlayStation Plus. It came with a 3 month of Music Unlimited, and... Mm-hmm. I was very surprised by that they gave you $10, basically, to spend on in the PSN store.
I think they were anticipating people using the upgrade program.
That's a good idea. Actually, I didn't even think of that, Eric. That is really smart, the people that went ahead and hopped on, you know, the Ghost, Battlefield, Assassin's Creed train early. You can basically get a free upgrade. I mean, I just used it towards purchase of Killzone, but, like, yeah, I mean, it was nice.
Yeah, I actually used it to buy the PS4 version of Flower, because I've never had a chance to play that on the PS3.
Ooh, Evan, can you talk about that? Because I only briefly messed around with Flower on the PS3. I was way more of a Journey guy.
It's so hard to describe what Flower
is. I know it is.
It's like... You start off as one petal, and then you grab more petals, and you're traveling around in the wind, and you're grabbing more and more, and you're making these fields of trees and what do they call those? Those, like, what do they call wind turbine things that does, like, the air power?
Yeah.
It's not so much as a game as it is more of a possibly a state of meditation.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it. I mean, did you play Flower on PS3, you said?
No, I didn't play PS3.
Oh, okay, because I was curious to notice, like, what was the big changes there, because it visually looks better.
So, to be honest, I played the demo version of Flower, and I noticed it was a very beautiful game, but here on PlayStation 4, I feel like the worlds that you're in are a lot more vivid. It feels like you're actually flowing through grassy hills and... around turbine areas. You can still tell it's a little bit CGI, especially with the pedals itself, but it's still very beautiful. And I remember playing, like, the first couple levels in Flower on PS4, and I got this warm, fuzzy feeling in my chest. It's weird.
It's called joy, Evan.
Yes,
it's weird.
It's called
isn't
joy.
It? Isn't it feels weird like... to feel joy while playing a video game and not anger or discontent?
It's like, ah, this feels so surreal. I'm just floating around. It's like a good time out sort of game to play after your killing and maiming things on Killzone or Call of Duty.
Oh, of course, yeah. You got to have some kind of break. Well, it's good to hear that it's still a quality game. I mean, I guess I would have preferred they would have had and just had a bundle like they had the retail version of Journey, Flower, and Flow just all together. It's curious that they've singled out Flower this time.
My guess is they might still be working on, you know, a Journey for PS4. That's why they're releasing, you know, the Flower right now.
That would be cool. I would totally want them to add like 4-player co-op this time and maybe like some additional content, because then I'd just be really happy.
Me too. So you have the system set up. It's all powered up, ready to go. What's the first thing you do with it? And Eric, why don't you go first?
Well, after I did the update, I went into the store and I downloaded all the free games I could. And it took about, like 6 hours.
6 hours?
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe more like 4.5, but I had a disconnect at some point, so that might
have... Disconnects suck. Any sort of download you're doing, whether it's PS4, Xbox...
I don't have the greatest internet speed here either. It's only like... I only paid for a 15 Mbps package because Time Warner doesn't offer really good upload and download speeds.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of bad things about Time Warner.
Their upload speeds are horrendous compared to their download speeds, though. Still only rocking it like a 1.5 Mbps for upload.
I take it you won't be doing much of the share button then?
No. I mean, I'll do streams, but they're going to have to be in SD.
Oh, do you have the choice between HD and standard when you stream?
Yeah, but I tried streaming in HD and it just didn't work out because it was too buffery hell.
See, I've yet to try the streaming aspect of it because I was just too mad at PSN last night just trying to get the thing to work in the first place.
I was thinking more along the lines of a game capture card on my other consoles.
I got you.
That's any indication I probably shouldn't do sharing.
You know, I actually did try out the streaming aspect. I went on to Twitch and tried it out. I was actually very surprised at how good the quality was, because I was doing the live streaming and I was looking on their screen just to make sure it was all working very well. And what's cool too is, like, I have the PlayStation camera set up, so There's my head on, like, the right-hand side, me doing my commentary as I'm playing the third level in Killzone.
Cool. And then you have, like, what, like, the comments pop up, I guess, at the bottom of the screen?
Yep. So it's kind of like, it takes up, like, an L shape on your bottom and on your right-hand side of when Twitch goes into, when you have Twitch functioning.
Yeah,
and it's really cool, and you can see how many people are watching it, and you can see how many people are commenting on it, and using with the PlayStation camera, your voice comes out very well, and it doesn't get drowned out by the noise that's coming from your television set.
Interesting. Can you manually adjust like the mixing levels between the game audio and your audio on Twitch's end?
I really don't know. I haven't tested that out yet, to be honest. That was the first time I've ever used Twitch itself, was to live stream on the PS4. I actually made a Twitch account solely for when PS4 comes out and, you know, when it comes time when I'm going to buy an Xbox One.
Yeah, because I've never messed around with any streaming stuff, let alone Twitch, so that'd be my introduction to it, too. So I'm curious to see how intuitive it is. But I got to say, I agree with you. I think the camera... probably the best use for it right now is as that streaming device to, you know, put yourself audio and visually in tune with what you're playing in the game, because, you know, watching someone play a game is great and all, but I mean, it's way more interesting to be able to ask them questions real time and you're able to look down at the comments and respond to them.
Right.
I was going to assume, like, can you have like your laptop open on the Twitch account, basically watching yourself real time play the game and be able to comment on your keyboard. Yeah, that's really cool.
You know, there's their 10-second delay of sorts, but that's normal for all consoles and such. The only real pain in the neck was trying to adjust the PlayStation camera, so because they give you a small little box for your head, and that's all people will see while you're playing the video game is your head. And it was just trying to adjust the PlayStation camera so it gets to my face. Because otherwise, initially, I just had it set at its normal way. And it was just picking up my hands as I was playing with the controller, which is cool, which may be another cool way to show off, like, how your hand is moving, what you're doing to make everything happen on the screen, but more people would rather just see the gamer itself than just their hands.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if anything, I mean, with this technology, the camera and the streaming, there need to be a lot of really good horror games on the horizon for PlayStation 4, because, I mean, arguably, I think that's the best use of watching people play video games is watching people play scary video games, because some people, you know, are not physically capable of making themselves play scary video games, so they enjoy watching other people do that for them. And, you know, I know they've announced Outlast so far.
Yep, and I was just about to mention that.
I wish that was had like more official date. I almost kind of assumed that would be
According to the PR people that are dealing with the Red Barrels and such, they're saying early January is when that's coming out.
Mm. Okay, that's not too bad. Because they need something, because, I mean, horror games get no love outside of PC these days, because,
right,
you know, they don't sell well, they're not marketable. Because, I mean, God, look what happened to Dead Space.
But, or the least, the impression that they're not marketable to the publishing teams.
Yeah, it's just like, there's such a disconnect between what they think people want and what people actually want. I think, you know, because you can download these games and have demos for them, so there's really no loss on your end. You don't have to physically retail make these things. They just need to throw them out there.
I'm happy.
It would make money.
You know, that's what Sony's doing, is, okay, even if you don't have a publisher, you can still have your game here on PS4. That could possibly mean, hey, what if they were to port Amnesia onto the PS4?
Yes, please. I've been wanting to play that for years. It's quite infuriating, actually. Playing a horror game on the lowest settings in your PC is not a good time.
It isn't. And I'm a Mac user, and having to wait for a lot of these horror games to be, you know, adapted into Mac sometimes never happens at all. It's somewhat of a pain.
I can imagine.
When I first picked up the PS4, when I first had it set up, I did the thing that Paulson J said you weren't interested in. I actually tried out the Playroom.
Okay, and what was your impressions of it?
I actually had a lot of fun with it. It's cool having those little robots popping out of your PS4, shooting out of it, and you can kick them around. They will basically mimic every single one of your movements, and then you can suck them back in. And you can make a little dance party inside your controller. It's goofy, stupid fun. It's not so much as a total video game experience. Oh, it's not worth the $60 that the PlayStation camera costs, but it's a real fun time killer. If you're not in the mood to play video games and just want to kick things around, just put on the Playroom and then pop out all the robots and just start wailing away with your feet, because they will actually start flying around when you kick them.
That's pretty cool. Like, I guess I'd have to see that in person in action, because watching, you know, a video demo reel of, you know, actors play that thing, you know, it's kind of hard to see the appeal of it. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that you have to be able to play in person with your friends, and that's really where these things shine. I will say, a little bit off topic, but, you know, you know, because of the camera, it has, you know, the microphone function. I was impressed that you can use pretty much any headset and have the same voice command ability on your PlayStation 4 that I assumed was only limited to the PlayStation camera. Yep. I didn't know that, because the first time I connected my headset, it said, hey, all you have to do is say PlayStation, and you can do a couple of things like start game, you know, log off, log on, turn on standby mode, you know, pretty basic stuff. But, you know, it was pretty cool as someone who has really not messed with voice commands probably since the first Xbox started experimenting with that stuff back in the day. And, you know, for me, you know, it just kind of fell off right there. But I'm glad to see this stuff is coming back, and I would hope, you know, in the future, we can get some updates to have some more, you know, interaction between the system and the my voice, because I would totally use this stuff more often if I could, you know, say PlayStation, search PlayStation Store, find new demos. I mean, I know I'm thinking, you know, in the future here, but, you know, ideally I would love to use a service like that if they, you know, think it's worth their time to start developing, you know, more updates for it.
Do either of you see it as a competitive way towards the Kinect of any sort, or do you see it not being as competitive with the Kinect?
No. I mean, Kinect is literally its own beast now, and, you know, it's a great piece of technology. It's just, I don't have a preference for it. There's nothing that has made me go, oh, wow, I gotta have that. Well, I mean, that's not true. I mean, I got to give a shout out to Harmonix and Fantasia, the new one, the new Disney game they're making for the new Kinect. That will be incredible. But again, that's Harmonix. I mean, that's just like last generation where their Dance Central was, for a lot of people, the one saving grace of the Kinect. So, I mean, the good news now is, because everyone that buys an Xbox One has a Kinect, the developers can do cool stuff with it now. Like, you know, it's like the touchpad on the DualShock 4. Everyone has that now. Developers can be like, all right, cool, let's do innovative things with this, because we're not alienating people that don't have this technology. So I think the camera is probably still going to remain probably no more, you know, compelling than it was on DualShock, you know, on PlayStation 3 in terms of its interactivity. But I think the big focus will be more on the streaming with your video and your audio content. And maybe, maybe in the future, I mean, I don't know if it's set up to understand motion gestures, but, you know, that would be a good starting point if they want to start taking a shot at Kinect's market, is, you know, the basic stuff, you know, like the Minority Report stuff, where you put your hand in front of you and you can swipe back and forth to go through tiles, or, you know, push forward, you know, to enter, push back to go exit, you know. If they want to get into that stuff, great, but, you know,
well,
I think there's better uses of their time right now other than focusing on trying to compete with Kinect.
Right. Well, it is really cool that you can have that sort of AI set up with the playroom with the camera, too, because when you have it, it feels like the menu is right there in front of you, like right in three dimensions on your television set. So it's kind of surreal seeing a setup like that. But yeah. Eric, do you see yourself getting the camera anytime soon, or did you already purchase it?
No, I'm probably not going to get the camera. And I think, just like the last generation, the camera devices are not going to really compel me in any way, because most of the games that use them either have features shoehorned in and they're just not good and not done well, or they just haven't figured out a good way to incorporate that technology. And I don't think they'll ever bother, because it's just cheaper to make a standard game.
Okay. Yeah, and that's fairly understandable. But what I want to touch on now is, we made a quick mention of it, the new controller, the DualShock 4 controller, which I feel is light years better than the DualShock 3 one. It feels a lot more comfortable in my hands while playing it.
I could never use a DualShock 3 again. At least for me. I just... I mean, I'm the kind of person that I went out and I bought a 360 wired controller, and I bought, you know, one of those Chinese adapters to use my 360 controller on my PS3, because I hate the DualShock 3 that much. But I love the DualShock 4. I'm so happy that they took feedback from, you know, the Killzone developers, the Infamous developers, you know, all their big AAA people, because I'm sure they all got input on to say, like, hey, this is what we want out of the controller, so we can make the experience we want to make. And kudos to them, because this is now a viable controller, and I'm at the point now, I would have a hard time playing favorites now between the Xbox One controller and the DualShock 4, because they're both excellent controllers now for their intended purposes, and it's not, you know, a one-sided fight like it's been the last, arguably, two generations.
Yeah, and the thing is with the DualShock 4, initially I was a little bit skeptical, because I'm still kind of used to, you know, the controller having, you know, the one stick up top and then the one stick on the bottom, and then the buttons all set up in a specific way, and not having the two controller, you know, the control sticks on the bottom. But while I was playing Killzone Shadow Falls, it just felt, this is like the most easiest way I felt playing a first-person shooter. Like, even when I'm playing on Xbox 360, playing my Call of Duty and Battlefield 3, it feels like I'm still having issue trying to aim and trying to get to the right area and such. But here on the DualShock 4, it just feels like it just all feels easier to me, simply.
Yeah, good example. I am having fun with the first-person shooter on a Sony console. And for me to be able to say that is a big deal, because that has always been Sony's biggest weakness, is anytime they try to develop first-person shooters for their console, because their controller does not work for that. It is an excellent driving controller. It is an excellent fighting controller. It is an excellent RPG menu navigation controller. But it is not meant to shoot people in the face. And it has finally come, I'm not going to say full circle, because they never really had much to build off of, but they have learned a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's weird because these analog sticks on DualShock 4 are substantially smaller than they've ever been on any DualShock 3 beforehand. So that's going to be very weird probably to hardcore Sony fans because they're a lot smaller, but they feel so much better because you forget they're there. A lot of the times when I was playing the DualShock 3, because they're so large and encompassing, you know, I'm always constantly aware of their presence, and I feel like I'm having to, you know, push two giant mushrooms around to move around. It's not as intuitive as other controllers I've used. This one feels very natural in my hands. And it's so strange because a lot of people have been saying that it feels like this controller was made just for their hands. And I can understand that mentality because it's such a unique shape compared to any controller I've ever used before. It's definitely treading new ground in terms of its style, but the weight of it, the fact that it uses two kinds of plastic, one on the back that's more, you know, grip-based plastic, the one on top is smoother. It's very impressive. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed, honestly, to make any more substantial designing improvements to this. Obviously, I'm biased here because I prefer the asymmetrical thumbstick placement of the Xbox controller. I think that's more natural to me.
Yeah, that's the word I was thinking of, asymmetrical.
Yeah, but damn, did they make this feel good, despite the fact that your thumbs are still right next to each other, but it feels worlds apart. I mean, just, I think that's why I'm so impressed specifically by Killzone, is because not only have I not played a Killzone since the first one back on PlayStation 2, but because this controller is so different than what I'm used to, and this game is so different than what I'm used to, it truly feels like I'm playing a next-gen experience. I mean, it's equivalent to the first time I played the Silent Cartographer level on the first Halo, on the very first demo they put out for that game. It's just, there's something special about this moment that I just have not experienced in a while, because I mean, we've been playing with the same controllers, the same styles of games for the last 8 years. And I mean, obviously launch titles, you know, a lot of people are kind of like, meh, because, you know, they're mostly just sequels to things. And that's fine and all. But I see the potential. Like, I see myself holding this right now, and I'm imagining playing Destiny, and I'm just going, wow, that is going to be a great game. And the same thing, I'll hold the Xbox One controller next week and be like, wow, I cannot wait to play Titanfall with this. I just I see the potential while I'm playing it. And I think a lot of people miss out on that because they're so worried about making a bad purchasing decision, and they want to wait, you know, until next year to see what the feedback is like. And I respect that, but I gotta say, I really do love the damn hype that comes along with having one of these things at launch and being there for these new experiences at day one. I mean,
that's how I felt when I bought the Wii U last year. I was excited to have the new Nintendo system after 6 years of playing with the Wii, going to the new system, and just loving the experience of the first next-gen console right then and there.
And that was the same thing with the Wii U. You know, I made so much fun of that tablet controller the first time I saw it, but it literally wasn't until I held the thing in my hand and started playing games I was like, whoa, okay, I understand now. And I mean, I think the DualShock 4 was the same thing for a lot of people. It looked so different initially than what we were used to. But that's a good thing. Change is good. I'm glad a good kind of change. I'm glad that, you know, we're not stuck with the same old, you know, that we were with last generation. I'm glad that, you know, it's not just the games look prettier. A lot more time and effort and thought has gone into make gaming as streamlined and easy and as fun as possible. Because, I mean, honestly, I feel like I could hand this PlayStation 4 to, I mean, my parents even, and I think I could pretty much within 5 minutes explain to them how the menu works, how to play things, how to use the controller, just because it's so much easier to use than, for instance, you know, the DualShock 3. I love the cross-media bar on the PlayStation 3, but if you were not a gamer, it was really confusing because there were so many options there. And
I don't know if I can agree with that stance of, you know, older people trying to use video games.
It depends on the old people.
Well, my dad has had an iPhone 4S for the past few months. He's still trying to figure out how it works.
Yeah, it's definitely a case-by-case basis. I'll agree with you there.
All right. Eric, what were your thoughts with the controller when you were finally going hands-on with it?
I like how the analog sticks are smaller and you press so that you can get a really tactile feel with your thumbs when you put them on the sticks. So you can actually tell where your thumbs are placed on the sticks now. Right. Because a lot of times with the old ones, they'd slide off because it's just a curved surface. But yeah. I also liked the left and right triggers are actually trigger buttons.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
Yeah, because for whatever reason, Sony thought it was a good idea to take off the last bit of plastic from the side of the controller where the buttons would depress into. So it was hanging off there, and if you were trying to watch a TV or something and you accidentally set it on the table, it might trigger the button.
And I was like, no, don't go to the next scene! Gotta go back.
And I also like the D-pad. It's nice and big, and it doesn't look like it's likely to hurt my hands when I'm playing Fighters with a D-pad.
Yeah.
I know most people play Fighters with the sticks, but well, not on the controller, but on actual...
Yeah, on the big arcade stick things.
But yeah, I'm one of those people. I like playing with my controller. Plus, those things are expensive and they're heavy.
Yeah.
But they feel so good and they last so long. Nah, I'm not going to try to sell it to you. It's definitely it's a hardcore enthusiast purchase. I will not justify to anybody except myself. But I love mine. And I am kind of mad that mine was for 360. And I haven't tried this yet, but I got a feeling it's not going to let me use it on the PS4, no matter what kind of adapter cables I throw at it. So I guess I'll have to sit here patiently and wait until they start announcing, you know, PlayStation 4 versions of the Mad Cat sticks or the Hori sticks.
You see, if they can finally figure out how to make a universal arcade stick that works with all the systems, when I'll finally buy one.
That'd have to be like a USB one that uses like a universal USB connection.
Yeah, because they have that, but you have to mod it yourself, and it's, you know, it's not for, I mean, like, for something that's already for hardcore, it's even more hardcore to be able to mess around.
It's like a female connector. It's like one of those newer ones where it's like really tiny. It doesn't even look like a standard USB port. So if I want to charge it, I have to either connect it to the PS4 or find the AB connector that will match it.
I know that's like the most simplest thing that you're describing, but it all still sounds so technical to me.
Yeah, like the two ends are different, and most USBs I've seen so far have like this tiny one looks kind of like an HDMI connection, but it's like a much smaller. But the other one for the PS3 and PSP, that used like it had like a curve on it, so you can't use the same thing.
Yeah. It sucks that you can't use the same.
I think you could still plug it into your laptop though, because the one end will always go on the controller, and the other end will always go into the PC. And I think you can actually charge from there, so that's how I'm probably going to play my game once the battery runs out of juice and I want to keep playing.
Just plug it into your computer.
Yeah,
that's actually not a bad idea. And I did hear that the PlayStation 4 DualShock controller will work with PCs.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about spending money on another controller if that's the way you prefer playing your PC titles, if you're not a WASD type of person.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool, too, because, I mean, for the 360, you had to buy a separate adapter to be able to use a wireless one.
I wonder if that means more PC games will start incorporating their controller configurations to accommodate the PS4's controller.
Well,
and, like, actually change the button layouts according to what controller you have in.
Yeah, because I know you can get the Xbox 360 controller for PC or Mac sometimes, but I don't know. I don't know if they'll ever get to that point, because with the PC games, there's just so many functions that you can do, and especially like strategy titles, that you need the whole entire keyboard in order to actually play the game. So it'll probably be years before we actually see a good, like, PC-exclusive strategy title work well with the controller.
Mm-hmm.
So, why don't we move on and talk about the games that we've played so far on the PlayStation 4. And I know I touched about Flower already, and we did touch a little bit about Shadow Falls, the new Killzone title. What were some of the other games you guys got for PlayStation 4?
Contrast and Resogun are amazing. Resogun is not what I thought it would be, and I love it because of that, because I guess I never looked at any video of that game in motion. I only saw pictures of it. So I just assumed it was like an old school, you know, Galaga, essentially, where you're just traveling through space, killing things, not trying to get run into things. And it's so much different than that. It's such a weird combination of someone described it as like Geometry Wars and Defender and, you know, maybe even some like Galaxian in there, but
because
I really like
it a
lot.
You're literally going in a circle.
Yeah, that's really cool to have like,
that
you know.
That sounds like Fantasy Zone.
Which one?
Fantasy Zone.
Fantasy Zone. Which one? Which game was that one?
That's an old Sega arcade game.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah. I think I ever tried that one.
Me neither.
But I mean, it's a very, very pretty, visually intriguing game. The music's really good. The fact that like you can blow up the environment, like the towers on the ground, they blow up into little like particulate effects that roll around and stay there for a while, or the enemies turn into like they just all explode and disappear. They turn into dust that flies everywhere, and it was confusing because I didn't understand the concept of like rescuing like the humans you have to and taking them to the extraction zone. So it kept saying, you know, human in danger, human dead, human in danger, human dead. I'm like, what are you saying to me? There's not even a tutorial for this game. But then I understood what I was supposed to do, and I was like, wow, this is really fun. And then, you know, the boss battle, you know, at least in the first stage, was like a gigantic wheel thing rolling over trying to crush you, and you had to, like, get inside of it and shoot the inner parts that, like, getting crushed by it. Very cool game. I was very impressed, and I understand why a lot of people are, like, claiming this is, like, the best PlayStation 4 launch game, because for a free game, it's definitely worth your time.
If you got PlayStation Plus, it's free. That's what I love about a lot of these games that are coming out for PlayStation, you know, to download, a lot of these arcade titles, if you want to call them that, is that if you got PlayStation Plus, they're free. So the $50 a year subscription, you'll basically get, like, you'll basically pay that off after, like, buying three or four games on there.
Yep. I love it. The value is amazing.
And it wasn't until recently when I realized that. I mean, I was very hesitant to jump onto PlayStation Plus because I'd been doing Xbox Live and I didn't want to spend another $50, $60 for a subscription service. But when I saw the value that was, you know, being featured on the PlayStation Plus, I knew that I needed to jump on board with it, especially for PlayStation 4. So, Eric, what were the games that you got for PlayStation 4?
I haven't bought any retail titles yet, basically because I'm kind of waiting to see whether or not the sites I review for are going to give me any review code.
Trust me, I'm the same way sometimes. Yeah.
So I just got all the free games that were on offer.
So what did you think of Resogun?
I haven't actually had a chance to play it, but the only one I've had a chance to play so far is Contrast.
Contrast is so cool. And I hate to steal your thunder, Eric, but that's another one of those games where, because I never watched any video of it, I assumed it was a 2D indie platformer like Limbo or Braid.
Yeah.
And it's like, surprise, it's a 3D platformer. I'm like, oh, really? I was really happy by that.
Now,
because I never expected we had that kind of experience as a free download game that looks so visually interesting. That's such a cool premise, too.
It does, visually, it does remind me a little bit of, like, the characters in Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, it does. It has that certain, the facial features.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
That and maybe a little bit of Tim Burton.
Yeah, a bit of, like, Frankenweenie and Corpse Bride. That's the other one he did. Mm. The one game that it did remind me of, I don't know if either of you ever played Lost in Shadow.
Yeah, on the Wii.
I have that game, but I haven't played it yet.
It reminds me of that so much because you're using the shadows in Lost in Shadow to solve all the puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different here because you're also using, you know, your 3D self and everything, and your and it is the whole 3D third person platformer setup. But it's a cool game, but I will say it does have a few weird glitches to it. I don't know if you've ever noticed...
I've heard some people on Twitter complaining about that. I finished the first chapter, or I guess the first act, you would say. I know you beat it already, Evan. Like, what was your main technical issues you had with it?
So, you played the first act. That was probably... That had, like, very little to no tech issues. But when you get to the levels where you're actually having to pick objects up and shove them into the shadow world, I notice that sometimes the characters get stuck in a position.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much as to have to start all over again, but it stuck there for a few moments. And I've noticed, you know, I've had a character get stuck in between an area that she probably should have been in the first place, but wound up being in for some reason. And actually, that was the one time where I did have to restart the game, or restart from a save point.
See, I got stuck at one point, but all I did was to get out of it was shift out into the shadows to the 3D world.
You see, I tried it too for that specific area, but it wasn't working for me. I mean, it's a cool concept, and I do have to give the developers credit for creating a game like this, but for me, after playing the full game and seeing that it's only a 3-hour title, and it actually left me asking more questions than answering them.
Really?
I don't know if it's going to be one of those games where there's going to be DLC later on to fill in things here and there about it.
Huh.
But
okay.
It was an okay game. It's an okay game after playing the full thing. And it's not a great game. It's not a very good game. It's an okay one. And for it being free on PlayStation Plus, you know, it's justifiable getting it that way. But if you don't have PlayStation Plus, maybe I would kind of say wait for the price to go down before you purchase it. Because $15 is a lot to ask for a game like this.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll be devil's advocate for Sony. I feel like if you don't think PS Plus is worth your money at this point, I don't think a PS4 is worth your money at this point. Because I think those things are like tied together now pretty
I'm pretty sure every free-to-play game is going to be free if you have a Plus account.
I understand. I know the others understand that, but I would not recommend you buy a PlayStation 4 if you don't plan on getting Plus. And the best part is you get a free month of it. So, I mean, you get to form an opinion very quickly, decide if you like the service or not. But I think going forward, I think they should be tied together. I mean, I certainly would not pay $15 for Resogun, you know, even though the game is amazing. I wouldn't pay money for Contrast. I mean, it's just the fact that it's giving these things for free on top of, you know, the fact that, you know, I'll get maybe like a major retail release every couple months. Just playing it safe until, basically until the Xbox One comes out and we try to compare and contrast which is the better platform for third-party games. I think you're safer sticking with the Sony stuff right now. You know, and PS right. Plus is great because you're going to get a lot of stuff added up really quickly, and you know you have to have it for multiplayer. I was shocked because when I was in line the other night for basically a PS4 to see if I could get one because I didn't pre-order one, there were people in line that didn't know you had to have PS Plus to play online multiplayer. Like I had to break that news to them while they're standing in line for the PS4. So
how did they respond?
He didn't take it well. It's kind of like oh. Well, damn. And I gotta say, I mean,
did they scream that out to the heavens or something?
Yeah, I mean, just like the whole launch night kind of bummed me out because like I was there, I was all excited. Everyone there that I talked to around me in line was just there to get one to turn around and sell it online for a profit. Like they weren't hardcore gamers. There was no passion. These were just people with nothing better than to make a quick buck.
I know one person on Facebook that I'm sort of friends with that's doing that, and I don't think he's going to be that successful.
No, I don't, because like I was 20th in line, and I got one no problem, and they must have had at least like 40, maybe even 50 of those things like at midnight to give away. And they're probably sold out now, but I think you'll be able to get one pretty dang soon if you really want one. This is not the problems that I had with the 360 launch where I stood in line at midnight the day it came out, did not get one, checked every single day until March 22nd. That was the first day I could get one. Every single day. Till the day and date Oblivion came out was the day I was able to get one. And that was a crappy couple of months, let me tell you that right now. So I think they understand the demands, and we're not going to have this problem for either the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4. I think by Christmas, if you want one, you are going to be able to get one.
Agreed. Dude, what do you think of that, Eric?
Well, my personal opinion would be, if you didn't already have Plus, then you have less incentive to get a PS4, because just like the Xbox One, there isn't going to be a whole lot of offerings for a while, and at least unless you want to buy slightly updated versions of ports from games that are already on other from the last generation. But I think all the indie stuff incoming will be worthwhile, though. So, and you won't have to wait too long. There's actually a couple Kickstarter games that are PS4 that I backed, so I'm going to be waiting for those, and I'm looking forward to those. Like, especially the Hyper Light Drifter game.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great things about that one. So, why don't we move on to that? One of the final discussions is, what are we looking forward to on PS4? What's going to be coming out very shortly on there? Because we saw a little couple previews here and there about what's coming. Like, I'm very excited about Infamous Second Son, because I really wasn't too keen on the second Infamous, but I'm liking the direction that they're going with this new one.
See, I got my PS3 just in February of this year, so those games are still kind of fresh in my mind. I played the first one, I beat it, I really had a good time. I only kind of started the second one a little bit and never came back to it, but I think the third one is pretty much the game I really wanted in the first place, so I'll agree with you. I guess really too, other than like the plot, I guess it's setups for the third one. I don't think you need to play it to get the full experience. I think this is going to be... I think it's kind of like Killzone Shadowfall. I didn't play Killzone 2 or 3, but I don't feel like I'm lost playing this game because they pretty like explain things to you pretty thoroughly in the prologue. I think Infamous Second Son will be the same way. This is a great introduction to anyone who wants to play a superhero game, but bonus points if you played the first two ahead of time. Because, I mean, to me, they could have called this game something entirely different, and I would still be super excited about it because it looks so visually amazing, and the gameplay is exactly what I would want out of an open-world game where you have that scope of Seattle recreated with, like, you know, the visual effects, the audio fidelity, and you can destroy the environments with superpowers. I mean, isn't that what we always really wanted out of a superhero game, and the best we've gotten is, you know, just, like, beating up dudes in, like, gray corridors?
Well, I remember the Incredible Hulk video game for Xbox 360. You could actually destroy all of New York with your Hulk smash powers.
Yeah, I don't know. That game was all right. I was much a bigger fan of Ultimate Destruction on the GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox
original. Yeah, that was a much better game.
Yeah, but just, I don't know. It's just, I feel like people have such a problem making superhero games because I don't think they fully understand what people want out of them, and that's freedom. And that's freedom to do whatever you want, and, you know, the world shapes itself around you, and you're like the fact that you have these amazingly ridiculous powers.
And you know
Infamous is kind of getting that pretty much right on the head.
That's why I loved Saints Row 4 so much, because it actually gave you all the superpowers and the freedom to use them however you wanted to.
Yeah, Saints Row 4 is a good example. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, once you could fly, what was the point of getting in a car anymore?
You know?
Just more games like that, please. You know, everything doesn't have to be so
linear,
grounded in the rules of reality or trying to be super serious about its subject matter. And some things just, like, you just want to play games to have that sandbox feel of just being able to kind of mess around and figure out what the limits of the system are. And I don't know. Infamous just really impresses me by everything about this, the combat, the depth of it. Just, you know, it's a really good feeling to be able to completely dominate your enemies, but at the same time, you still feel threatened by them. And a lot of games have that problem where it's either like one extreme or the other. And because in a superhero game, you want to feel like total badass, but you also don't want to feel like, you know, they put a bunch of rules in place to keep you from having fun. Like, a good example is the last Superman game they made, Superman Returns. Superman's invincible, but the city has a health bar, so if you mess up the city too much, it's game over. So it's like, here's be Superman, but we're gonna put some chains around you so you don't go too crazy. And I'm just like, that takes all the fun out of it. I mean, I want to let loose and have fun, and I don't like games that, like, put up restrictions on me because they're trying to make it more like a game, I guess, or more difficult, and it's hard to explain, but I'm just...
Right. Well, imagine, hypothetically, if they did that to, say, like, if they made a Powerpuff Girls video game, and they put that in as, oh, don't destroy the city too much, or else you'll lose the title, or you'll lose. But Powerpuff Girls is all about destroying the city while saving it.
Build it. Come on.
Time.
Yeah, like if anything, like if you want to impress me, go ahead and go that extra mile and write the game around that. So if I do mess up the city too much, the story changes and maybe people's animosity towards me grows and they're like more hesitant to be around me. You know, don't make it so black and white as, oh, you know, if you kill civilians, you're a bad person. If you save them, you're a good person. You can raise your karma up and down. No, be more thorough about it. I love games with karma systems that don't show them to you, that it's basically working behind the scenes to change your experience real time to match what your actions are. So if you're the kind of person where you want to take notice of that and be like, oh man, I'm kind of getting out of line here, I need to restrain myself and try to be more tactical in combat, or it's just like, heck yeah man, everyone's scared of me, I want to be a, you know, go crazy with this, you know, dude, that's great. That, I mean, that to me is like, that is next gen design process 101 right there for me. Don't rely on outdated concepts like, you know, morality meters or, you know, like a health bar for the city. And the future should be less HUD game stuff, not more of it. I want to be able to be given a world to interact with and explore with and discover a story in my own manner, in my own way, without feeling like I have chains on me that are trying to push me down a narrow linear path one way or another.
Mm. I agree. There needs to be a total superhero video game where you can do whatever you want, but of course have the little consequences if you do whatever you want and it you know, appeals badly to, or it just doesn't work well with the other people, or if people start lashing out towards you, if they start throwing stones at you when you're standing around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good times.
All right, but Eric, what about you? What are you looking forward to seeing coming out for PlayStation 4?
I mean, it's a long ways off, but like the aforementioned indie game I mentioned, Hyper Light Drifter, and another indie game called Cosmic Star Heroine. And even though I'm getting the Wii U version of, well, whenever it does come out, of Keiji Inafune's Mighty Number 9.
Oh, that's my also god, I cannot wait for that. Yeah. That is going to be amazing when it comes out. I'm still trying to figure out if I do want that either on the Wii U or the PS4.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got like a year and a half, and I guess we can change our pledge if we want to.
Yeah, actually, that is true. Mm-hmm. That is true.
Although, I like it so much I might want to buy it again, even though I put $40 down for it to get the soundtrack and art package.
Yeah, I only put down the $20 just to get the download.
But as far as the retail goes, probably Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 15.
Those are huge.
I was still surprised when they announced that. I'm kind of
miffed on the Final Fantasy franchise as a whole because of what Square's done with it lately, but I'm still kind of hopeful that it'll at least be enjoyable.
I'm the eternal optimist when it comes to gaming. I think it'll save the series. But, you know, I also am still really bummed out by 13 and the fact that its existence continues to taunt me, that some people think that that is a good game and needs to have sequels made of it. And I'm just like, no, you just need to pick up the pieces and move on.
Someone told me, it was like, wait, after the first 100 hours of Final Fantasy 13, it gets better.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It never gets better. If you wanted to get better, go on YouTube. I'm sure someone has linked all the cutscenes together. Sit there and watch that 30-hour movie if you want something like that. But for me, I'm actually, on that note, I'm not sure if they confirmed this for PS4 or not, but I really would like to see the Final Fantasy X-X2 HD remix ported to the PS4. Because I know it's confirmed for the Vita and the PS3.
Yeah, I think it's still only for Vita so far.
Dang. Because I would like to see that. Because, to me, that has the best combat in the series, you know. You know, the misgivings about the plot or the main character aside, the combat was excellent in that game. And
you know what I would love to see them do on the PlayStation 4 is a sequel to Ni No Kuni.
I still need to play that.
You haven't played that yet, dude?
I haven't played that
one
either.
I got like about 14 hours in, and I just haven't had time to get back into it.
Yeah, I'm at like the 20-hour mark of it. It just stinks because I really want to get back into it, but oh, I have to play these other games and write about them beforehand, and then I gotta get up the articles and such. But I still want to go back and do it, and it's, I still want to go back and, you know, finally beat it. I still haven't beaten Beyond Two Souls. I'm hoping to finally do that, but it just depends on when I finish up with all these other games.
Hmm. Well, I was also kind of looking forward to Infamous Second Son a little bit. Even though I haven't played the first two, I have the first two. I'll get to them eventually, and I'm not going to play three until I played the other two. But I like the idea of being able to fly with fire so, like, and act like I'm some kind of firebender from Avatar, The Last Airbender, or something.
Would that be awesome if that was one of the costumes you can unlock?
Oh, man. Wow. I hope you gave someone an idea right there.
Yes. Get on it, Sony! Okay, so maybe the final question about this is, next week, or rather, you know, within the next couple days, Xbox One is going to be launching. And what do you think is going to be happening with that?
I think it'll do well. Put it this way, I'm not really that enthusiastic about having to get Xbox Live again after, you know, throwing it under the bus, essentially, after having it for 8 years. And then just stopping abruptly because my Xbox got stolen. And I was just like, you know what? I think I'm done with Xbox for a while. And I moved to PlayStation at that point. So I'm really excited for the game, for the system. I think Killer Instinct for me is so heads and tails above the rest of the launch titles in my eyes that I guess I'm not as hype as I was for the PS4 launch because, you know, I think forward about PlayStation 4. For Xbox, there's a lot of unknowns there. I really would like to... I know they have said they're working on a lot of new IPs. I need to see those IPs. I need to believe again in that they have the power to, like, recreate, you know, the spark that they had with when Gears of War first came out, or when Halo first came out, or when Alan Wake came out, or Crimson Skies, or, you know, Mech Assault when they put that on consoles for the first time ever. There's a lot of really cool things that they could do. I'm just not seeing them yet. Like, I don't have any interest in Dead Rising 3.
Me neither.
Or Rise. And Forza is a beautiful game, but I'm just not into realistic simulation racer games like that. That just does not do anything to me.
I'm more of a kart racer.
Yeah, kart racing or Burnout or, you know, even some of the newer Need for Speeds where they've totally just, like, gone bananas because Criterion's making them now. Or Ghost Studios, who made Rivals, which looks excellent. I don't know. I'm excited more for the hardware and the controller and the interface than I am for any of the games. But I think they'll do just fine. I think people are going to have to get this Kinect in their hands and their households to see what Microsoft is trying to do with it. And you're going to have to basically rely on the big developers on Microsoft's camp and the third-party people who make things for Xbox One are going to have to take advantage of the Kinect to prove that there is something worthwhile about paying $100 more for this platform compared to the PlayStation 4. Because right now, I could not sell anyone on the Xbox One over the PlayStation 4, despite the fact that I like both companies and I like both consoles. There is nothing that gives Microsoft the advantage right now other than their confidence they had from last generation going forward.
And that's the thing, too. I think the only game I'm really, truly excited for on the Xbox One is Sunset Overdrive. And there hasn't even been a release date announced for that yet.
Yes. I mean, Insomniac does great work. I mean, I have no doubt that that's a winner right there on their hands. But, you know, I mean, all we saw was a trailer where it's just like, oh, it's like a CSI game based around the concept of time, you know, that looks really cool and sounds interesting, but I do not see any gameplay there. I mean, you have to put these things in people's hands, or you have to sell me on these concepts with a bit more than just, like, look how visually interesting the game is. Because, again, you want people to be excited and want them to run out to pick up the Xbox One at launch, because they're excited about the future of what's coming to the platform. But I just feel like, compared to previous generations, where exclusives have been lost slowly but surely on both sides, there's fewer of them, and they seem to matter less in the long run because the third party is so dominant now. I mean, the perfect example is, we brought up Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 15. They're going to be on both consoles, you know. A lot of people are not going to be swayed automatically to PlayStation 4 because they love those series so much. They have an option now. And, you know, I think no longer interest me now because they've just outstayed their welcome.
They got too repetitive.
They got too repetitive. It's just been there, done that mentality over and over again. Perfect example is, you know, the Microsoft press conference this year at E3 when they showed the Halo 5 trailer, up until the fact when it showed Master Chief's face, I was really excited because I thought this was a new IP from Microsoft.
And then when Master Chief appeared, it's like, oh.
It's just like, great. And just you don't want your consumers to do that. I mean, obviously you know something is wrong when your most iconic character on your platform gets that kind of reaction. You kind of have oversaturated the market with it. You need to branch out and do new things. That's why I'm impressed, for instance, with Santa Monica Studios' The Order 1886.
Yes!
Here is something that is completely out there in left field that, you know, all we saw was a teaser trailer at E3, and we're like, wow, that looks really good. And you start seeing, like, screenshots in Game Informer, and now there's some gameplay starting to surface here and there. That is getting me excited because that is something new and astounding that I'm really interested in. That makes me really excited, the fact that I went out and bought a PlayStation 4 already, because I know one day I'll be able to play that. I want that same experience with the Xbox One. I want them to show me things that get me excited for that reason. And, you know, Sunset Overdrive is great. I'm sure Quantum Break is great, but there's not enough there to convince me that, you know, for the average consumer, that this $100 more expensive console is a better use of my time and money than the $400 system, which, for the most part, most of the games are going to be on both of them. So unless you're clearly in one camp or the other, or you're already clearly attached to Xbox Live, all your friends are on there. If you're on PlayStation Plus and all your friends are on there, that's great. But people coming into this fresh, that maybe, you know, haven't played a game console in a while, there needs to be more from Microsoft, I feel, to sell their system to them. And again, like, this is one of those things that we're not going to know until we have our hands on it literally next week. But I want them to go ahead and start making these kinds of announcements. I don't want to have to wait until E3 and then be like, all right, guys, now we're getting serious. Here's all these cool things we're making. And you're just like, you just wasted the last 8 months of the hype you might have had at launch, because a lot of people are probably aren't going to care that, you know, you have Rise and, you know, Forza and, you know,
more,
I mean, Crimson Dragon is great. When I found out it was a $20 downloadable game, it was a weird reaction, because one part of me was like, all right, it's a cheaper game. Awesome. Definitely going to get that. Other part was like, wow, I guess they do not think that series is important as it used to be, that it does not warrant a $60 retail version of itself. Because, I mean, for me, Panzer Dragoon Orta on the first Xbox is one of my favorite games ever, because it was so different compared to everything else out there. And that was a full-length console game. And I'm sad that they do not think that, you know, the Panzer Dragoon Legacy is not worthy of a full retail release. The same on the same page, you know, I'm not particularly thrilled about Killer Instinct's pricing model. I would have preferred
a $60 retail
game that has all of those characters in there to begin with. I would have paid money for that at launch. Now I'm kind of like, I guess I'll have to work around with this and see what the best option is. But I think they're shooting themselves in the foot there by focusing too much on the television aspect, the NFL aspect, you know, even the Kinect aspect. They're missing why I love Xbox. Why, you know, for
they're
the last
missing the,
years,
missing the
I
true
was
game
really
aspect.
In their camp, and now I'm having doubts. I want them to welcome me back with open arms, and like I want to be excited again to own both consoles and feel like I'm getting use out of them. I don't want one to, you know, be played more than the other.
Right. Well, so that's what kind of happened with me with the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. I wound up playing more of my Xbox 360 than the PS3 because I was more, you know, used to the games that were coming out, all the indie titles that were coming out for Xbox 360 compared to the PlayStation 3, and I was just more used to playing the controller. Plus, most of my friends had 360s, and not a lot of them had PS3s. And I see that kind of changing now. I see more people buying PS4s than the Xbox Ones.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where, for the first time since I started Xbox Live back in 2002, I'm excited to be part of a new social gaming experience on the PlayStation 4. This whole concept of, like, having 2,000 friends, which is amazing. Being able to have, you know, your real names displayed so you get to know people better on a personal basis. You're not just a collection of letters and numbers to each other. Everyone has a chat headset now. People are talking again. People are communicating, using tactics, you know, the way you're supposed to be playing online games. Not hold up in your party chat with your friends, being antisocial. The whole point of online gaming is to meet people online and become friends with them and expand your interest in Horizon. I miss that. I mean, I literally have not experienced that since I was a teenager in high school back in the day. Mm. And it's so fun to be able to do that again with the PS4, because I'm getting all excited. The more people I get PS4s, I'm like, I get to expand my friends list and I get to, you know, play games with certain kinds of people. Because, I mean, everyone has those friends that kind of stick to one kind of game. And it's fun to be able to play with them and then move on to something else and something else and something else. And it just gets me excited by the time Destiny rolls around in March. I feel I'm going to be totally ready for, like, the first, in my opinion, the first true online next-gen experience, which I think will be Destiny's multiplayer.
Okay. All right. So, Eric, what are your thoughts on Xbox One? What do you think they're going to have to do in order to catch up with the hype that is with the PS4?
For one thing, I think the camera should not be packaged in with the console, because I don't see a whole lot of interest in the thing personally. I don't want to have to pay an extra $100 just for that because they insist on it. And I think if they want to beat Sony at its game, they're going to have to let indies self-publish, and they're going to also have to release the gating of the other online services like Netflix and Hulu and Crunchyroll, because that's a big point of contention I had with the 360. I don't know how people can support such a platform and say it's the greatest ever. I mean, they come up with excuses like they use the money to pay for the servers on the game side, but with such revenue that they're making with all the ads they plaster you with, I don't see how that's the case. And I liked how Sony has PS Plus and you get all those deals that. And I think they've started to catch on. They've tried to do that with their games with gold thing that they've been doing for the past couple months, but I don't think they're ever going to really seriously buckle down on that unless it comes to crunch time. They have to do it.
Okay. Yeah, and I totally agree with you with the games.
And there's two games that I wanted to get on it on the Xbox One if I were to ever get one, and that's Crimson Dragon and D4, but that's still not enough to make me pay $500 for a console.
Right. That's why I'm waiting for, you know, Xbox One. I'm not going to get it on day one because, you know, number one, I just spent all my money on PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Number two, there's just not enough there that is grabbing hold of me when it comes to launch day. And I'm not gonna lie too. There isn't a lot for PlayStation 4, because you know what? I'm comparing this launch with the Wii U launch. When I bought the Wii U, I bought like three games right then and there because there were more games that were coming out for the Wii U I was interested in on day one than I really was with either Xbox One or even PlayStation 4. And I don't know if either of you felt the same way with the Wii U.
And finally, the Wii U is starting to get games. So it only took about a year, maybe a little bit more.
I know. I know it really took a, I know it took a really
the,
long
the,
time.
The 3DS is the same way. And yeah. I think even the Vita is catching up now.
You see, I still don't have enough, you know, there really isn't enough to really grab me yet to purchase the Vita. It took me a year to finally buy a 3DS. It's going to probably take me a lot longer for me to actually sit down and buy myself a Vita. So, any final thoughts before we close up this podcast show about any of the consoles?
I think everybody wins.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think no matter which choice you end up making, you're going to have a great time regardless, because I love the competition we're going to have now. Xbox Live is going to be top of its game when it launches, and PlayStation Plus is going to have to step up to that same level, or if not better, than Xbox Live is already set. So I'm really excited, because either way you go, you're going to have an amazing time playing online with your friends, and we're going to see some really cool stuff. I really do think 2014 might be the biggest year in gaming we probably had since 2007. Like, I am stupidly excited.
Eric?
Everybody, I know there's people that get caught up in the console wars, but the one thing that they're all forgetting is that the real winners are the gamers.
And I think the best way to truly show that off is the fact that Major Nelson tweeted to the guys over at Sony congratulating them on their launch. And then the guys over at Sony was like, thank you very much. Hope you have a good launch next week as well. There's a, I don't want to call it a camaraderie, but there's a friendliness to, in their competition within, you know, Sony and Microsoft. Unlike when it comes to the actual gamers, the Sony fanboys and the Xbox One fanboys, they're battling it out to the death. Whereas this Xbox people and the PlayStation people, it's more of a game of chess between the two of them, a friendly game of chess to see who's going to be the better one. And there's no animosity between the, either of the two companies.
Yeah, which is hilarious because, I mean, it entirely comes from us. We create this illusion of a flame war and fanboyism because we enjoy doing that. And I'll admit it, like, I think it's fun. I think the people that... I think social media has demonized fanboyism in a way that forums and message boards used to never do because back in the day, it was all fun and games, and the whole point was to make each other laugh. I think because of how easy Twitter to use, you're just seeing that lowest common denominator of humanity rise to the top because of how vocal they are with their opinions. And they just make us look bad. But you got to remember, I'd say like 99.9% of gamers just want to have fun playing games with each other. And I think we're going to have that so much. Like, I think it's going to be so fun to be a kid this Christmas because, like, if I got one of these two consoles for Christmas, I would lose my mind because I have such fond memories of that back in the day with the older generation of consoles. I think no matter what, you're gonna have a great time, no matter what you side with.
I still remember the Christmas when I finally got a Sega Genesis. That was a thing.
Genesis.
The Christmas that me and my brother got an NES, we screamed our heads off.
Oh, I know it. Good times.
And that's another thing, too, before we wrap up, is we grew up on seeing video games evolve from the little sprites on the NES to today. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing seeing how these video games have evolved in such a short amount of time compared to seeing, like, movies and how long it took for them to evolve. Pretty soon, we're going to see video games that are going to be better than movies. Heck, it's actually already happening. It's already happening with Bioshock Infinite.
It already happened. Yes.
And look at what the guys over at Quantic Dream are doing with whatever the Dark Sorcerer is going to be in the final run.
Yeah.
Whenever that game comes out, it's going to blow away any other film that will be coming out that year.
No, I agree. I'll be total fanboy here for a second. I seriously think Uncharted 4 should win the Oscar for whatever year it comes out in. Because it's just going to wipe the floor with any other film that comes out that year. I'm calling it right now.
I thought the demo was the Dark Sorcerer was funny. But if anything, it's going to be an interactive comedy movie. But
that would
I'm
be great.
I'm willing to see that.
After how depressing Beyond Two Souls was, I would love it if Quantic Dream guys made a comedy game. That would be so good.
I agree. I think we are in need of a very great comedic video game. And I know it's going to be coming in a form of stuff like Armacrog on the Wii U, but I feel like we really just need a game that just will make us laugh in ways that video games haven't been able to do. And who knows, maybe Quantic Dream will be able to do that.
Maybe so. I just hope their gameplay can match their narrative, because, I mean, all of their games are so interesting, but you really have to be a hardcore gamer to enjoy them. And I understand why people like to demonize Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls, but...
See, I didn't like Heavy Rain's story because it didn't make sense towards the end. And okay, there's lots of plot holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Discarded plot points,
too. The ride was still fun. I don't know. I just... Maybe because I played it so much after the fact, because I just played it for the first time this year, it was really interesting to me because I knew what it would be going into it. I think if I had bought it day one, I would probably not have been saying the same thing. So, yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think now with next-gen capabilities, I think that any developer that wants to make a great game can make a great game because the tools are there. You just have to know how to craft it. And you know, I think the good stuff will really be good this time around.
I think that's the best way to end the show. That I totally agree with that. It's all about the craft.
Yes, it is. Developers, we love you. Enjoy that crunch time because we want some good video games to go with our shiny new consoles.
All right, Eric, Boston J, thank you so much for joining me here on this very special episode of Boston Bass Brigade. For the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bass Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast show, or if you have any questions for our Japanese teacher, Sawa-sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can like us on facebook.com/BostonBassBrigade, and you can follow us on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com.
I'm known as Eric RPG on Twitter, and my podcast is RP Grinders, and you can find our podcast RSS feed outside of iTunes and Stitcher, and internally within Wicked Radio Network, and the actual RSS feed would be rpgrinders.podbean.com. And I also independently do videos on YouTube under the name Funny T-Man. That was long before I came up with the Eric RPG name, but it just kind of stuck, so I didn't want to change it afterward.
Isn't it great how old online games just stick around with you forever?
Anyways, also, I do reviews on TotallyGN.com and GameTactics.com. So you can check those out, and along with the other reviews from the other people there. And I believe that is it.
Yeah, Paulston J here, at Paulston J at Twitter. You can catch me, my antics with my teammates, Danny, Paris, Peter, and Mandy, sometimes David Too Sly, over at GamertagRadio.com. We do a weekly podcast called Gamertag Radio, obviously. But yeah, we have a lot of fun hanging out, talking about video games, discussing our passion for Xbox, PlayStation, PC, Vita, 3DS, Wii U, anything you play, we play it too. We got your back. But yeah, check us out, GamertagRadio.com. We have a good old time every week.
Guys, thank you so much. And I look forward to playing with you guys online on our PlayStation 4s, which are still taunting me right now.
Right here in my face. I can touch it, but I can't play it.
I can, I just need to, reach a poking stick to touch mine. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.